This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It is episode 98. And it is Thursday. And this is going to be a bit of a challenge today. I'm actually leaving work a little bit early because I just couldn't justify spending my clients' money in the state that I am in. It's not terrible, but I just don't feel like my productivity is up very high. I had last night, it was going to get down below zero, and while the heater on our house will handle that, we have ground source plus then an extra electrical circuit. While it will handle it, it does run all night and run up our bill a little bit, and so I thought, well, I'll build a fire. I usually try to build a fire when it gets below zero. And last night, I don't know exactly what I did, but I kind of overstressed my back last night while I was doing all that. And so I am in sufficient pain for it to get my attention. Let's put it that way. So I tried working for a little while and tried standing up, sitting down, and standing up, and sitting down. And I had a meeting I had to be to this morning anyways, so I was able to make that meeting. We were able to get done the things we needed to get done in there. But after a little bit, I thought, you know, you're not really giving your client good value for their money. So I decided I'm going home. So I'm going to go home and get horizontal and, you know, just let my back kind of get happy. I'm 90% certain it's just muscle, so just got to let it kind of work itself out a little bit. Everybody will be happy. I am going to go ahead and stop at the video store and get a video while I am out and about, so there will be an interruption in this one, but that's good anyways, because by the time I get to the video store, I will be ready to kind of stand up and walk around a little bit, and then in a few minutes, I'll be ready to sit back down again. So it's just one of those things, hard to get comfortable. It's been a good week. It's been a really good week. On Friday, I got a chance to get together with my buddy for breakfast, and we had a really good conversation, and on Saturday, got together with the young couple I get together and have breakfast with, and we had a really good conversation. And Sunday, my son-in-law actually spoke at his church, so I played hooky and went over and heard him speak, and he did a great job. And I got a chance to sit with my daughter, and we had some nice conversations. And Tuesday morning, I got a chance to get together with my buddy Tuesday morning, and we had a really nice conversation. And Tuesday was my wife's birthday, and so she wanted to go out with some of her friends she hadn't seen for a while, so we all went out together and had a really nice conversation. And last night, I got together. I didn't think I was going to be able to get together with my buddy last night because he had something else, but then that canceled on him, so we got to have a chance to talk and had a really nice conversation. And so, yeah, it's been a great week. I love weeks like that because it really adds to the richness of my life to be able to have really good, serious, relational conversations about life and what we're thinking about and what we're struggling with and what we're trying to get past and, you know, all those different types of things. So that was good. Just a quick update on the Super Bowl commercial. I had mentioned last week that I did not win the Super Bowl commercial. We, of course, were all watching the Super Bowl to see how the commercial turned out, because there was some concerns that I had that the car company had not really given themselves enough time. The contest ended on early Monday morning of last week, and then they had to pick the contest winner. Then we got hit with 12, 13 inches of snow on Tuesday. And I had told my daughter, you know, if I was going to pick one, I would pick that one, and because it's the only one you can shoot indoors and minimal cast all that kind of stuff. But I said, still, it's, you know, it's pretty tough. So we were all half watching the Super Bowl to see that commercial came up to see. And so I was working on something else Sunday night, and we had recorded the Super Bowl. And so I was zipping through and looked through all the commercials. Could not find the local commercial for a reliable Hyundai. Looked and looked and looked. So I went up and asked my wife, I said, did you see the commercial? She said, no. She said, I didn't watch them all, but I didn't see it. So I called my son-in-law, who was happy because the Green Bay Packers had won, and he's been a Green Bay Packer fan for years and years and years. So that was cool that they had won. And he said, it was not there. He said, I watched everything, and even the local blocks of commercials when they came up, it was not there. So, you know, a little sad that probably because of the snow, it just sort of knocked everything out. But it was a fun contest to participate in, and it was a fun distraction. And they did announce a winner, and so that guy, you know, was going to get his television. And who knows, they may go ahead and make the commercial and just play it locally here. I don't know. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Some things don't quite work out like you expected. It's like we talked about last week. You can do everything as well as you can, but there is a random component to life. And that random component can rear up and change how things are going to happen, which is just fine. Anyways, I am at the video store. I'm going to go ahead and head in, swap out a movie. That'll give me a chance to stretch my back a little bit and just change positions. And then I will be back shortly. Okay, I'm back. Now I just have to make it home. Okay, so one of the topics of conversation this week kind of dovetails with what I was talking about last week about how you can have all the right pieces in play. You can be the most disciplined person in the world. You can make all the right choices. And that does not necessarily mean that you're going to end up extraordinarily successful. We have a tendency to believe that the measure of validity in a life is if people are extraordinarily successful, and a lot of people know who they are and they've made lots and lots of money. But if you're really honest in your examination of those people, you find that there was this whole set of circumstances that was firing around them that really was tangentially connected to their capabilities and their talents and their discipline, but it was not necessarily directly under their control. And we talked about that last week, that things have to align. And there's always enough stuff going on in the world and enough people who are willing to be dedicated to the cause that things are going to align for someone. And that was kind of the point of the book, The Random Walk, is that at the end of it, after the author had proven to his own satisfaction that randomness, in fact, rules our lives, which I'm not sure that is true, his point was, but at least you should try to dot your all your I's and cross all your T's and be disciplined, because that improves your chances, at least, of being at the right place at the right time when random chance comes to you. And someone had quoted me, I think it was Mark Twain, that something about success is when opportunity meets preparation or something like that. And that's very true. Now, I would contend that there's actually something else that's going on, and that is if you follow the whispers from God within you, you also greatly improve your chances of being at the right place at the right time. And when I look back over my life, frankly, I'm quite pleased. People could look at my life and say, well, you didn't do this, and that could have worked out better, and you should have done this, and that could have worked out better. And you had opportunities where if you had stuck with things, then maybe you would be at a different place than you are now. But you know what? I'm pretty happy the way everything's turned out. I felt like I've been able to live a life, a very interesting life. I've been able to learn a lot of things and do a lot of things. We are comfortable financially. We're certainly not wealthy, but we're comfortable. And I don't see any darkening on the horizons. I see that the principles that I have been working with in life are going to continue to serve me well, no matter what my physical state is, and frankly, no matter what my financial state is. And so, while I may not be known to everyone, while I may not be fabulously wealthy, I am quite comfortable. And I have a wonderful family life, and I have good friends, and I enjoy being alive, and I enjoy the challenges of being alive. So, under all those conditions, then that's really how I define success. So, in the process of all that, though, this week, in a lot of the conversations that I had with friends, maybe because it was on my mind, and maybe because with the discussions I had last week, the idea of what are you accomplishing in life? What is your life going to be marked by? What are you going to be known for? I've circled back around again to what is the true construct of life? And this came up, you know, in a lot of kind of different concepts over the last week. I can't remember, but I think it came up in my Friday conversation in a different context. But in my Sunday conversation with my daughter, we got to chatting about life and what they hoped to accomplish in life and where they were going and all that sort of thing. And I had mentioned several weeks ago that I had purchased The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, really interesting book, and that I had read it and then passed it along to my daughter, and my daughter had read it, and my son-in-law is now in the process of reading it. And I was talking to my daughter about that, and she said, yeah, she said, Alan is going to be finishing it up here in a couple of weeks, and she said, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to dreamline. And that's one of the things that Tim Ferriss suggests you do. You sit down and you say, what do we want to accomplish in life? What are the things that we want to do? What are we interested in? What would we like to have the capability to do? Not just financially, but emotionally and personally, from a personal perspective. What do you want to learn? A language? Do you want to learn to paint? Do you, just whatever. And I think this is a really good exercise. It's very interesting. And my daughter, she said, because we're going to have the conversation about the big life, that we really want to live the big life. And I said, yeah, I said, I think that's fabulous. You can go for it. Now, what I didn't say is, well, do you think I've lived the big life? Because obviously that's just flesh. You know, I'm the only one to decide whether or not I have lived the big life. And frankly, it doesn't really matter whether my daughter or my son-in-law thinks that I have lived the big life. It matters far more to me that they understand that I am for them and they can tap me as an available resource to assist them in any way they need assistance, and that the relationship that I have with them is really good, and that they feel free to basically talk to me about anything, that they feel free to share with me any of their viewpoints, whether they think I agree with that viewpoint or not, and whether or not that viewpoint reflects well or poorly on me. I mean, if I've done some things that they thought I could do better, I don't have any problem with them saying, yeah, we didn't really think this through. Yep, nope, you're right. No problem. In conjunction with that conversation that I was having with my daughter, there was another thought that had come to me Sunday morning as I was getting ready and I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because this is the big treatise that we have. There is a Sermon on the Plain as well in Luke. The Sermon on the Mount is the big treatise that we have from Jesus, where is this continual conversation where he is telling us about life and how to live life and the real elements of life. And it's really interesting, as I'm reading through that, the thought comes to me, when did Jesus ever talk about work? And I got to thinking, I need to do some more research, but even in his parables, certainly there are people in his parables who are working, but the parables are about work are really told from a perspective of how do you classify work. And there's really, in the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at it, I can't find anything in there where it says, now make sure you go out and work every day. Make sure that you find you know, your bliss, or find your, where you're going to dedicate your life, and then just go out and work every day at it, and make sure you're real disciplined so that you can succeed. You know, there's no, what we would consider to be a whole set of principles on how to get ahead in business or how to succeed in life. Jesus's principles are completely different than that. And his principles, for the most part, revolve around relationship. Are you in good relationship with others? Are you in good relationship with God? And the rest of it, in fact, Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, when it comes to two areas that we dedicate ourselves to work specifically because of this, so that we'll have something to eat and have something to wear, Jesus specifically addresses those things and says, why are you so worried about that? God in heaven takes care of the birds in the field, the flowers in the field. He's going to take care of you. Don't sweat it. And even though he doesn't mention work, the fact is that most of us work because we're afraid of not having something to eat, and we're afraid of not having shelter, and we're afraid of not having something to wear. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount very clearly knocks those things out and says you shouldn't spend a lot of time thinking about those things. So, you know, the core, what is life really at the core? And of course, that then leads back into this whole discussion of, well, if you look at the life of Jesus, he basically lived a vagabond life. And he encouraged others to do the same. When disciples would come to him and say, when people would come and say, in essence, I want to be your disciple and I wish to follow you, he would tell them, fine, you know, toss everything, walk away from it, come on, let's go. Now, some people will say, well, he only said to those people because they were encumbered and that he knew they wouldn't come. Well, whatever. But the people who were with him, that's the path that they followed. Peter, James, and John left their nets. They left their boat. They left their livelihood. And they followed him. Which is really interesting. It doesn't fit with our standard American Christian model. Oops, sorry, I was grabbing the steering wheel to kind of push myself up to stretch my back out a little bit, and I hit the horn, so I was not tooting at anybody. Our standard model of Christian behavior is you need to work hard, you need to save your money, you need to you know, buy a house, you need to raise family, you need to be a good citizen, you need to this, you need to that, be productive, and blah, 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 blah. Because that's how you'll succeed in life. And Jesus' model is follow me. And what Jesus did is he walked around and told people about the kingdom. And it's interesting because there is a tremendous appeal within me to the idea of walking. My buddy who I get together with on Tuesday night, he's quite the outdoorsman and hunter and those type of things. And I was talking to him at one point and I said, you know, what are things that would just be really interesting to do? Be just to pack a backpack with a few essentials in it and just start walking and just see what adventures would come along. And he kind of smiled and he looked at me and he said, let me know when you're going to do that, because I'll come with you. Because in essence, that's what Jesus did. And he didn't even pack a backpack. He told his disciples when they went out, don't take an extra staff, don't take an extra pair of clothes, just go. Now, of course, some people will say, well, that's because he was Jesus. You know, if he had a problem, needed food, he'd just get some loaves of fishes and divide them up, you know, feed himself. Or he'd go down and catch a fish and pull a coin out of its mouth to pay his taxes. You know, there's all that kind of stuff. Oops, sorry. I was trying to stretch out my back again. Which is interesting, too. That gets into that whole thing of where are we in life and how do we relate to the supernatural? And is the life that is not filled with supernatural that we are living attributable to the fact that the flesh has built up within us this concept of what the world is, and we have accepted what the world and the devil will try to tell us about our existence, and so we're living just basically hunting and scratching and pecking around at the ground as opposed to soaring in realms of the supernatural? I mean, there's all this stuff that's bound up in it that I had some really interesting discussions this week about all this with my buddies. I'm backing into my garage. I have to lean up and kind of situate myself here. Here we go. Okay. And I will talk louder. So one of my buddies, his contention was, and it's interesting because he had recently taken a trip up north to see his parents-in-law. And as he was going on that trip, he started thinking about all this as well. And he said that as he was thinking about all this, the thought hit him that the reason that we don't see more manifestation in the supernatural is because people don't live the life that Jesus called them to live. That if people would just step out and just start traveling around and telling people that the kingdom of God is at hand and being used in healings and that or in being put in positions where they didn't have a lot of comfort, they needed God to come through, then God would start manifesting himself, and God, in terms of manifesting himself then, people would get more and more comfortable with the supernatural, and they would end up operating more in the supernatural, and there would be the release of all the gifts, healings, miracles, word of knowledge, because they were in an environment where they were useful and needed. And people would be relying on God as opposed to relying on themselves, which is a very interesting concept. So I don't know what the answer is to all of this. I do feel a responsibility to my wife, to my kids, to my grandchild, to be available to them as resources, and to provide a certain level of existence to them. You know, it's interesting. Paul did say, if people have the ability not to be married, it's better for them not to be married, because then they, if they're married, they have to care for their spouse and not care as much for the Lord, which is an interesting perspective. So I don't really know what the answer is to all this, but I just find it fascinating that all this week we've been engaging in these conversations, and then I have a buddy who basically in parallel was also engaging in this conversation. And who knows where this all may lead? But it's really fascinating. And as I told my daughter on Sunday when we were talking about the big life, I said, sweetie, honestly, my number one item on my bucket list, my number one thing that I want to accomplish before I die is to get this figured out. And to cross the boundary and operate in the supernatural and live the life that Jesus Christ imagines that I have the capability to lead, to live. Not that I'm unhappy with what has been accomplished in my life so far, and not that Jesus would love me any more or love me any less if I was able to get that item ticked off my bucket list. But I just think it would be really, really fascinating to cross that boundary. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.